Because we can trust in you, Father, we praise you. As we're about to see, God, the wind and the waves, they still know your name. And they respond to your commands, Father, and that you are in charge and you are in control. And Father, in the moments where we struggle to have faith, where we struggle to believe, where we struggle to understand what's going on, God, we can trust that even if we don't get it, that we don't see the depth of what's happening, Father, that you are overall and you are in control. And Lord, this morning as we look at this passage, God, I pray that you'll help encourage us and challenge us and help us see what it is that you're doing in our lives, God, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank y'all for that song. They had something different planned, and I sprung up a new song on them a couple weeks ago and told them I wanted to do it, and they did a great job with that. The reason why, as we're about to see, is that one line, the waves and the wind still know your name, and we're about to look at a passage where the waves and the wind were crashing, and it was causing a scary situation, and knowing that truth, that the waves and the wind still respond to the voice that created them, is very comforting. It should be very comforting. So turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14 is where we are today. And before I dive in to that, I wanted to point out these flowers up here. These are from Cody Riggins' funeral. Annie wanted us to have these this morning. Annie Morrow wanted to make sure that we had those so he could be remembered even more today. And those were in him and in memory of Cody, and continue praying for the Riggins and for Annie and JC and their family, and a lot of stuff still to figure out with all of that, but keep them in your prayers, and as well as the Crafton family, as Miss Glenda passed away this week, and a lot of different people passed away and being sick and in the hospital right now. So just bring those before God when you get the chance. When it crosses your mind, stop and pray, and God hears those, and God will respond to those. So Matthew chapter 14, we are in week 5 of 8 things I wish Jesus had never said, and this week's is, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? And anybody ever doubt before? You have doubts of God, of who he is, of what he's doing, of why he's doing things the way he's doing them. You ever doubt that he would be there for you? Ever doubt that he would rescue you if you needed it? That in a moment where when you're suffering and when you're facing difficult circumstances, that you doubt that God still loves you or that he cares about you or he even knows what's going on? You ever deal with those things? I have. I know you probably have too. And in Matthew chapter 14, we see a circumstance where Peter doubted, and Jesus called him out on it. So we're going to look at this and see what we can learn from it. So let's start reading in verse 22 of Matthew chapter 14. I'm going to read down through verse 27 to start. Verse 22 says, "Immediately he," that's Jesus, "made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of them to the other side while he sent the crowds away. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves. The wind was contrary. And it was the fourth watch of the night, and he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, 'It's a ghost!' And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid.'" I love how the Bible talks about events like this like it's no big deal. Like, oh yeah, by the way, Jesus was walking across the ocean out to the boat where his disciples were in the middle of a storm. And they saw him and they got scared. And Jesus was like, guys, it's just me. No big deal. No big deal. There's tons of those things in the Bible where this kind of moves through a story and this huge miraculous thing that happened. And it's incredible to know. And just kind of give you a picture. Jesus had just done some miracles where he was casting out demons and feeding people and stuff like that, and they were kind of rushing at him, wanting him to make him a king, wanting him to take over as a political leader, and Jesus was trying to get away from that. So he sent the disciples out across the ocean, or across the Sea of Galilee. It's really a large lake, but he sent them out across the Sea of Galilee. And if you've ever been in Israel, these storms happen all the time. When I was over there in May of 2011, we were there at the Sea of Galilee, and it started raining. There was kind of a nice, gentle rain, no big deal. And then within 5 minutes, there were 60-mile-an-hour winds blowing us. And we were on the side of a cliff, and it was fun because we were hanging on. And one of the guys that worked in the park where we were said to one of our people stayed behind, and he said, "Oh, your friends, they're in the Sea of Galilee now. They're not still up there." But we made it back. But it just out of nowhere, it's a huge storm. That's what they're dealing with. They rowed out into the Sea of Galilee. They're trying to make it across to their side where Jesus told them they would meet. And they ended up in the storm. That's an important point I want us to notice on the screen. The disciples' obedience to Jesus led them directly into a storm. See, I'm afraid that our culture, and I'm afraid that a lot of preachers today and a lot of teachers today, they make they get a lot of followers and they make a lot of money off this idea that if you're following God, if you're obeying Him, if you're doing what Jesus told you to do, if you're inside the will of God, then things are going to be going well for you. That if you'll get your prayer life right, if you'll get your obedience right, if you'll read your Bible like you're supposed to, if you do all these things and check them off, you're going to live your best life now, right? And it's going to be great, and you're going to have money, and you're going to have peace, and your family problems are going to go away, and you're going to break all your bad habits, and all these wonderful things are going to happen, right? That's not the truth. Because in a very real way here, the disciples, in obedience to Jesus, found themselves in a life-or-death situation in the middle of the ocean, and they couldn't save themselves from it. They couldn't get out of it. And in the same way, we today, if you are following God, it is very likely that you will be sailing into the midst of a storm where things seem out of control, where things are out of your control. When the wind and the waves are tossing against you and you can't be steady and you're scared for your life or you're scared what's going to go on or for a family member and all of those things. And just because you're facing those things doesn't mean you're in a spot of disobedience. It may be exactly where God wants you to be. It may not be the safest place, but it's always the best to be in the middle of the will of God. And so it's always important to remember that. Because if we start to think that God promises that with obedience comes things that are make me happy and make me feel good, as soon as things don't feel good and I'm not happy, we start to doubt who Jesus is. But see, Jesus never promised that he would take away all of our pain and suffering and things that we will do. He just promised that he would be with us through it. And on the other side of death, it all goes away. Those are our promises. So hold on to those promises, and as you do that, as you enter into these, it will help you not to doubt. If you know it's coming, it'll help you not to doubt. Let's take a minute, read these next couple of verses, focus in on what happens here between Peter and Jesus. Verse 28, Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked in the water and came toward Jesus. So Peter asked Jesus for permission to get out of the boat. He asked Jesus, "You tell me to come." Because he wasn't about to just jump out and start going. He said, "Jesus, you tell me to come." And he was asking for two things here. I believe he was asking Jesus for two things. The first one was permission. He wanted Jesus to give him permission to do this miraculous thing, to walk on the water just like he was. He wanted Jesus to command him. So it wasn't just Peter going out on his own and deciding to do this thing, but that Jesus was leading him, that he was still being obedient to what Jesus wanted him to do. The second thing he was asking for was power. Because Peter, in his own power, would not be able to climb out of a boat and walk on the water. Has anybody ever tried it? It doesn't work. Okay, we had last Sunday, Daniel and I were out at Mid-South Behavioral Health. There's a church service out there, and we do that every fifth Sunday. If there's a fifth Sunday, we're out there. And one of the guys that's there, I heard from another church that had been there, one of the guys raised his hand one time during the church, says, "You know, I walked on water." Oh, okay. Awesome. He said it was frozen. So some of you may have done that. I don't know. But there's not really a way. We don't walk on the water in our own power. So what Peter was asking for was permission to step out of the boat and walk on water. But also, he needed Jesus' power in order to step out of the boat and walk on water. And see, what we do too often is we decide, I've had a great idea about what God wants me to do. It's my idea, and I want God to bless it. So I'm going to charge out and take off and do it. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a move or I don't know what it is in your life that you see and you go, this makes sense to me. So I'm going to do it. And God, you better bless it because you promised to bless me and take care of me. But see, the better way to handle these things, before you make decisions in your life, before you step out and go in obedience. And what you believe is obedience, whether it's a job offer or whether it's a ministry of some kind to reach out to people and love them, whatever it is that you're facing and looking forward to, you need Jesus, God's permission and God's power for it to work right. Paul, one time, in his journeys, he wanted to go to Asia. He wanted to go plant churches in a different part of the world. And he said, three times I asked to go to Asia, and three times God said no. I mean, is it really a bad thing to go plant churches in Asia? Of course not. I mean, as Paul's talking to his friends, it probably sounds like a really good idea. We're going to go plant more churches in a different part of the world. That's awesome. But God said no. And sometimes things look like they make more sense to us, and God must not know what he's talking about if he's putting barriers in the way and telling me no. But the only way to walk on water is to do it with Jesus' permission and Jesus' power. So seek him. Spend time talking to him. Weigh decisions. Weigh things you want to do so that you're doing it that way. It's important. Peter said here, he says, Lord, if it's you, command me to come on the water. An important note here, that word if in the Greek language, if, since, then, because, that's all one word. They don't have different words for each of those. So they kind of make a best guess in the English which one. More accurately, because of the way Matthew writes, most people believe that Peter probably said, since it's you, because it's you, Jesus. He believed, he saw Jesus walking across the water. They all say it's a ghost. I think it's you. And because I think it's you, command me to step out of this boat. See, Peter had lots of faith. He didn't doubt. He believed it was Jesus. He believed that Jesus could do it while he was still in the boat. He had all the faith in the world. He knew exactly what he wanted to do. He knew that God could do it. He believed that it would work. He believed that he could step out and follow Jesus while he was still in the boat. But what happened when he stepped out? Keep reading with me in verse 30. But seeing the wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. As soon as he got out of the boat, he saw the circumstances around him. And he got scared, and he began to sink, and began to drown, and called out for Jesus to save him. Mark your place there in Matthew 14 and go back to Matthew chapter 8. There's another similar circumstances, different story, different point of time that it happened, but similar circumstances we see in Matthew chapter 8, starting in verse 23. Another storm, Jesus works in it, but there's some important principles to learn here. Matthew chapter 8, starting in verse 23. It says, when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being covered with the waves, but Jesus himself was asleep. And they came to him and woke him, saying, save us, Lord, we are perishing. And he said, then why are you afraid, you men of little faith? And then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became perfectly calm. The men were amazed and said, what kind of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? See, the disciples, again, found themselves in a scary spot where there's a storm. It's out of their control. They don't know what's going on. But Jesus gets up, and he says to the storm, hush! Stop it. And it stops. Have you ever been caught in a bad downpour, bad rain while you're driving, thunder, lightning, wind blowing, the car's rocking back and forth? We used to get these in South Carolina. We lived over there. It would be raining so hard you couldn't see 15 feet in front of you because of the rain, the wind, the trees are blowing, all this stuff. Once you drive through that and you come out of it, what do you usually feel? Relief. What did they feel when the storm stopped? They were amazed. Recording of this instant says they were frightened. They were terrified because they saw something in Jesus they couldn't understand. And Peter, when he took his eyes off of Jesus and began to sink, he lost sight of something that he really couldn't understand to begin with. That is that Jesus is in control of the weather. How cool is that? Jesus is in charge of the weather. Genesis 1, he spoke it into existence. God said, Let there be light. And it says in John chapter 1 that Jesus is the Word, and so that the words coming out of Jesus did the creating. In the short story there, Jesus did the creating in Genesis chapter 1. God spoke it, Jesus did it. Jesus created the wind, the waves, the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth around us. He created it, his voice spoke it into existence, and it still obeys him. So what that means is the rain that came yesterday afternoon, Jesus did that. The sunshine and clouds that are out now, Jesus did that. So yes, we thank him when it rains, when it needs it to, when it hits your fields like it's supposed to, when it gets your garden growing like it's supposed to. We thank Jesus for that because he's in charge, but he's also in charge of the tornado. He's also in charge of the hurricane. He's also in charge of the wildfire. Jesus is in charge of everything. And more than the weather, Jesus is in charge of everything. And so what happened with Peter back in Matthew 14, what happened with Peter is he looked at Jesus and he started to come to him, but when he took his eyes off the Creator, when he took his eyes off the one who was sovereign and in control, he began to sink and he began to get frightened. Jesus is in charge of the storm. And it's important here, it's interesting to me. Verse 31, let's keep reading. Verse 31 of Matthew 14. I'm sorry, back in Matthew 14. Go back there. It says, immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said, you of little faith, why did you doubt? It's interesting to me. Jesus, I thought about this the other day. Jesus didn't say, why were you afraid? Because it says he got frightened and he began to sink. But Jesus didn't say, Peter, why are you afraid? And Jesus didn't say, Peter, why are you worried? He says, Peter, why did you doubt? See, I think fear and worry are symptoms of doubt. And I think that Jesus kind of diagnosed that in Peter a little bit here, because the issue was not that Peter was afraid in the midst of his circumstances, because fear is a healthy thing, right? Fear keeps us from doing stupid stuff sometimes. Fear keeps us from making dumb mistakes sometimes. So fear and courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is acting in the face of fear, and courage is doing what needs to be done even when you're afraid. So fear is not the bigger issue here. The issue was that Peter in that moment doubted Jesus' willingness and ability to keep him safe. In that moment, Peter was doubting. He said, Jesus, you're right here. I can see you, but there's all this going on, and I'm not sure you can keep me safe in this. And so I'm scared. And he started to drown. And that's what really happens with us. We don't want to admit it. But when we're in the midst of a circumstance and we're doubting God's love for us, we're doubting God's goodness, we're doubting Jesus' control and God's control of our circumstances, we're worried about stuff, we're doubting whether he's either able to save us from the circumstances or carry us through it, or whether he's willing to. God, things are so bad. Either you just don't love me or you can't do anything about it. And then we have doubt. And that's why Jesus was asking her, why did you doubt me? You of little faith, the depth of your faith and trust in Jesus determine whether you walk on water or drown in your circumstances. The depth of your faith, when you get in circumstances, because here's the thing, we're all going to walk through circumstances. We're all going to walk through things that we don't want to be in, that are hard, that are difficult, that are painful and hurtful. But how you move through that, how you get through that is determined by how deep your faith is in God and how much you trust his ability to save you and keep you safe, and how much you trust his willingness to do what's best for you. So what have you been doubting lately? What have you been fearful of? And what is it that's caused you to ask God, do you really love me? And are you able to take care of this for me? There's a phrase, and I don't think I could ever say this enough. People say that God will never give you more. The reason I keep saying it is because people keep saying it. So people say God will never give you more than you can handle. I keep seeing that. But the problem is that's not true. God will give you more than you can handle. Peter, could he handle walking on water? By himself? No. If you've tragically lost a loved one, lost a job, lost your money or whatever it is that you're dealing with, the circumstance you're walking through that's hard, can you carry it by yourself? No. In fact, God will walk us through circumstances that we are not able to carry so that we will look to Him and not our circumstances, because He's the one who's able to carry us and walk us through it and save us out of that. And if we keep our eyes and our faith and our trust on Him and not what's going on around us, that's when we're able to walk through our circumstances if we're walking on water. But the moment you take your eyes off Him, the moment you start to think, He's never going to give me more I can handle, that puts that on you. Because suddenly if you don't feel like you're handling it, it's because your faith isn't big enough. It's because you're not good enough. It's because you're not figuring it out. But the thing is, Jesus is the one who's in charge of it. So if you keep your mind on Him, He's the one that will walk you through it. And He's the one that will carry it. And it's important because if you belong to Jesus, He's never going to let you drown. Whatever your circumstances, He will save you. When Peter lost his faith, when Peter doubted, what did Jesus do? He reached down, grabbed his hand, and He saved him in spite of his lack of faith. So I think there's two kinds of people here this morning. I think there's two kinds of people in the world when it comes to this. One is those who belong to Jesus, who are saved, who have received forgiveness for their sins, who have a home in heaven secure. God is going to lead you through things and ask you to do things that you cannot handle. And what He wants you to do in those moments is to look to Him and to trust Him and to believe in Him and have faith in Him that He is looking for your good, that He is working for your good, and that He can save you. You don't have to turn there. Psalm 107, verses 23 and 24. It should be on the screen. It says, "Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they have seen the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep." When we lived by the ocean, we go to the beach and see a lot of people that kind of stand right on the edge of the water and kind of laps up on their ankles and stuff. And they get a pretty good experience. You get to see the water, but it's the ones who are able to step into the ocean, to swim out a little bit, or go in a boat out on the ocean. You get to see a lot more stuff. You have to experience a lot more things. And I'm afraid that too many of us Christians, we spend our entire Christian existence standing on the shore, looking out at the sea, going, "I bet there's some cool stuff out there. But I'm happy to let the water just kind of hit my ankles, and that's enough." But see, God says that those who see Him, those who go down to ships, who do great business on great waters, they have seen the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. If you want to see the big works of God, if you want to see the wonderful works of God, the big things that happen in your life, you have to be willing to get on the boat and to step off the boat and look at Him and trust Him and follow Him. Ask for His permission and ask for His power and go. So what is it, Christian, that you've been hesitating on, that you've been holding back from, that you've not done because you're scared and because you doubt God's willingness and ability to carry you through it? What circumstances are you in right now that you're letting them get the best of you? You've taken your eye off of Jesus in those. Step out and do what it is God's calling you to do and trust Him through your circumstances. The second type of person is the one who doesn't belong to Jesus. Because here's the thing. If you're not saved, if you're not someone who's trusted in the forgiveness of Jesus on the cross and the power of His resurrection to resurrect your body and your life from the grave of sin, if you're not someone that who's given your life to Christ, trusted in Him, received all the love that He offers and the grace that He offers, if you're not one of those people, and you start to drown, you're going to drown. There's no hope. There's no hope for salvation outside of Jesus Christ. There's no hope for making it through what you're dealing with Those things that you walk into that God gives you that you can't carry on your own. There's no one there to carry it with you. No one there to carry it for you. And then the circumstances of life start to pound on you and drown on you. There's no hope. There's no hope for salvation from your sin. There's no hope of salvation from your circumstances. There's no hope of a brighter future on the other side of death. So take stock here in a minute. Let's go ahead, bow your head, close your eyes. Take stock of where you are. Christian, I want you to hear that we're gonna sing that song again, part of it at least. As we do our invitation, we're going to sing through that. And I want you to hear those words. Let go of my soul and trust in Him. The waves and the wind know His name. And through it all, my eyes are on You. And through it all, it is well. That's our prayer, those of you who believe today. That's your prayer for power and strength and the courage to step out despite fear and trust Him. Your faith in Him that He will carry you through. And for those of you, if you're here today and you've never made that decision, or you thought you did and you're not understanding this stuff, come talk to me today and we can get that right, and Jesus will reach into the water and pluck you out and save you and carry you home with Him. Would y'all stand? As we sing, respond this morning. If you need to come and talk to me, pray at the altar, pray at your seat, whatever you need to do this morning, please, please, please don't leave without responding to God leading in your life this morning. Father God, thank You. Thank You, thank You for the truth of this passage, that You carry us, that You lift us up, Father, if we are Yours. And God, I pray this morning that everyone in this room, Lord, each and every single person in this room doesn't leave until they've taken stock of their relationship with You, their faith in You, their trust in You. God, we love You, we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. Come this morning.
Through it all, my eyes are on You. And through it all, it is well. And through it all, my eyes are on You. And it is well. It is well. So let go.
This morning, I am glad you're here and excited about what God's doing in your lives and in this church and all that's going on. Just